This is Damir Barla, site editor of Search SAP. Today we're going to talk to John Visser of Signal about Unicode, a text format that is going to be required in SAP shops using MDM, BI, SOA, and other modules. Unicode conversion is going to be a standard part of your life as an SAP customer, so you might as well learn about it now.
So we're here with John Visser, Director of IT at Signal, and we're here to talk about Unicode in SAP environments, an issue that a lot of us really haven't known about until recently. John, why don't you start by telling us what is Unicode and why is it important to SAP?
Absolutely, Damir. Unicode is, in a nutshell, let me give it to you in one sentence, it's a unique number to every character, no matter what the platform, no matter what the program, and no matter what the language. Characters are represented by numbers in computer speak, of course. And SAP used to have a certain code page to support standard languages. When multiple languages became necessary as they went global, they developed a workaround called MDMP to be able to represent the Eastern characters that required double character sets. Now, here's the problem, though. The rest of the world said, you know what, we need to go to a standard representation of characters. So when I say the lowercase a is represented by the number 32, it's the same lowercase a across all platforms, all languages, and all architectures. Now, if you're in a non-Unicode system and you pass an interface, for example, from system A to system B, and system B is your non-Unicode SAP system, the character 32, which represents lowercase a on your source system, might end up in the uppercase F on your SAP system. It's called silent data loss, because it's not a uniform way of representing the characters between platforms, which is why Unicode is there, which is why SAP designed all their software as of NetWeaver 2005 to be Unicode compliant. Mm-hmm. Of course, the legacy systems are still running non-Unicode, and SAP did not put a lot of pressure on the customers to go the Unicode way, because they kind of built in workarounds in their own interfacing mechanisms to do some of the character translation to be consistent, but at least between SAP systems. Well, SAP themselves are now saying that, you know what, as we go into the enterprise system architecture, as we go to a standards-based environment where we interact with other applications like middleware, service-oriented architecture, we are having more and more of an issue with a silent data loss, where the characters are not represented the same between the platforms. It's very hard to debug and troubleshoot because the application does not fail. The character just comes across differently. It passes all validation checks, but it's actually referentially not intact.
Mm-hmm. Let me stop you there for 1 second, and we can get right back into some of the technical details, but I want to do a bit of level setting for line of business people and maybe executives and managers who are hearing some of this and thinking, well, is this really such a big deal? And this sounds, you know, like bits and bytes, literally. I mean, how mission critical is this, John? Let's talk about this in business terms before we get down into the tech of it again.
You know, it's becoming more and more so. Up to now, you could argue that, well, since we are not going to use the Java stack on our SAP system, we're not going to need or see a reason to go that direction. And a lot of customers are still in that position, which is why they haven't done the Unicode upgrade yet. However, with SAP's new software like MDM, Master Data Management, with XI, BI, they all are Unicode compliant. So if you start wanting to add additional functionality to your SAP system and you're still in the old technology, you're going to start experiencing more and more issues by not being on Unicode yourself.
And what are some of those issues? Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go right ahead.
Sure. And also, if you want to install your new SAP system, it's not going to be possible for you to install a non-Unicode system anymore.
Now, that was getting to the heart of what I was going to ask, which is what are some of those issues that can arise? So it seems as if you might not even be able to implement certain kinds of SAP if you don't make the switch over. Is that correct?
Any new installation is going to require it to be a Unicode installation. And now, if you have a legacy back in R3, you could keep it like that for the moment. But you're not going to be able to, for example, convert to SOA, SAP's SOA, and you're going to have a hard time with MDM. So in other words, if you want to use the new technology stack that SAP is making available, you may be blocked by the fact that you are not on Unicode.
I see. And of course, that's a huge problem. Now, let's talk about how folks can make this transition. You know, hopefully we'll get people more aware of this need, but what can they do? So they've heard about this. What kind of assistance do they need to make the switch over to Unicode?
The Unicode conversion itself is reasonably straightforward, and it's primarily a technical exercise. The way the process works is you basically export your data out of your source SAP system using auto-load, and in the process the conversion actually happens. And then you rebuild a new database and you load your entire database into the new target system, and now you have a Unicode compliant system in a nutshell at the lowest complicated level. Mm-hmm. Now, that process takes a little bit of time, depending on the size of the database, and one of your key issues is going to be to try and reduce that transition time, essentially. But let me step back and give you sort of the big steps that's part of the conversion process. First thing is any interface or custom auto code that you wrote is going to have to be confirmed to be Unicode compliant. The NSAP gives you a tool to verify that your code is or is not. It's something called UC Check, and you can run it across all your programs, and it'll tell you which ones are compliant and which ones are not. Then you may have to do some table maintenance on some specific language-related tables. You run a transaction called SPUMG, which is a database check, and then you're going to actually do the Unicode pre-conversion with SPUMG, which kind of sets up the tables prior to the export itself. Then you'll do the export steps, the import steps, and then some post-conversion steps. Mm-hmm. And the complexity of the entire process depends on how much custom code you wrote, how old the system is you're coming from, and the level of testing that you're going to do. SAP has always recommended that since you are going to need the same resources that you would need for a SAP upgrade, kind of makes sense to do your Unicode upgrade in conjunction with your SAP system upgrade. The challenge with that has always been, though, is your downtime, because the upgrade itself takes time, and then you have to add to the back of that the conversion process, and you may lose, you may not be able to fit it into a weekend. You might not run into 3 or 4 days in the process. So you have to do some strategic thinking around how you're going to plan this conversion process.
Now, in terms of the help that you can get, is this something that, you know, your existing integrator or your in-house team sort of knows about? I mean, how much technical expertise do you really need to make this happen? And, you know, where can you get people to sort of plug in those gaps if they're there?
You certainly can talk to your integrator about it. Most SAP customers that are not on MDMP systems have not done the conversion yet. So I think what you'll find is that there's not a lot of experience out there. In fact, when I did some research on the Internet to see what is the body of knowledge out there, it was extremely thin. There's maybe one or two companies that's really dug into it in depth, and it's hard to – you get some conflicting answers on certain problems because it's not well practiced, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Could this – I mean, we talked earlier about how this can really hold up people's SAP plans, but if this level of ignorance about Unicode persists, can this be bad for SAP in terms of holding up certain planned upgrades? Or, you know, what's sort of the worst-case scenario if people don't start to act on this knowledge?
Well, the biggest thing is SAP is trying to avoid putting a burden on the customers, and that's why they kind of gave us the workaround where you can live with your non-Unicode system for a long time. But they're sending out letters to the customer base. They started first in April 2006, and they just sent another letter now in December 2007, kind of trying to cajole customers into going that route. Now, if you are a forward-thinking SAP shop and you want to reduce your total cost of ownership, which includes your SAP cost of ownership, but most importantly, your integration cost, your interfaces between your SAP and non-SAP systems, you're going to have to move to Unicode anyway, because most of your other applications are going to be on Unicode. And if you need to implement SOA, you're going to have to be on Unicode. And if you want to implement MDM, you're going to have to be on Unicode. So what's happening is if you don't do the Unicode upgrade, you are putting a gate on some of the functionality that your business is going to be driving toward versus being enabled for Unicode when they want to go that route, you're there. Now, defending the budget for the Unicode upgrade in and of itself can be hard unless it's tied to another initiative. And some of the automatic initiatives that makes a lot of sense, if you're going to do a hardware swap out where you upgrade your hardware from a lower capacity to a higher capacity, you're going to have to do an SAP system copy anyway. Since that's exactly the same process you use for the Unicode upgrade, why don't you just combine the two projects and make it a single project? Because it's the same resources, the same effort, the same tools that's going to be used. SAP upgrade, same thing, can be bundled with that. Or if you transfer out of your data center into a hosting company, again, it makes sense for you to combine it with that by itself.
Well, that's really great advice, and it sounds like it would be extremely efficient to do it this way. Now let's move over and talk about your experience a little bit. I mean, certainly you're on the cusp of this, and you've seen a lot of these conversions. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what makes for the right kind of Unicode conversion, and what have you seen out there that's a best practice that companies have employed to get this done the way that you're talking about.
You know, I think if you have a lot of custom code and you're going to have to spend a lot of time in getting that Unicode compliant, you could very well plan to do this sort of as a two-stage process. In other words, get your ABAP code Unicode compliant, because that's separate from the purely technical exercise of performing the actual upgrade. And what a lot of customers are doing is they're saying, well, you know what? I'm doing an SAP upgrade. I'm going to make sure that as part of the upgrade, since I have to test my interfaces anyway, to make sure my code is Unicode compliant, but I'll defer the Unicode upgrade until maybe a few weeks or months after the SAP upgrade, and then I've taken that step out of the equation. And then your next step is going to be the technical part of the upgrade. The technical part is fairly complex. There's a lot of SAP nodes specific to certain application areas in SAP as it relates to the Unicode conversion, and there's about 40 or 50 of them, and you just have to work through step by step through all those. But I would say the biggest challenge that you're going to have to solve is the downtime that you would need for doing the conversion itself, because it involves extracting an entire database from your old system and putting it into your new system as an entire database again. Now, there are different ways to improve that process. And I would say if you want to focus attention on how to plan this thing, that's where you need to focus a lot of your energy. There's a way where you can have System A and System B up at the same time, System A being your old system, System B being your new Unicode system with the database pre-prepared, and then you do an extract and load simultaneously. That way you can cut your window of conversion down. Of course, not everybody can afford to have an entire system sitting there ready, and then you will do a two-step process, which is extract, delete, reinstall, reload the process. But because this can be a fairly long runtime on the first time, you have to tune it. For example, last custom I did, our initial run took 47 hours. We did some tuning by trimming some tables, by doing some optimization at the Oracle level, and changing the number of processes. We got it down to 6 from 47. A huge customer like Microsoft did a Unicode upgrade a while ago, and they went from, I think it was 160 hours down to 22. On a 2.8 terabyte database. So obviously, if you have a mission-critical system that can't tolerate a lot of downtime, then the effort that you spend in the planning and optimization of the copy itself or the conversion itself is going to be crucial.
Let's go over that again. I mean, is it just a question of downtime and minimizing downtime, or is there any other benefit to be derived by shortening the cycle like that, like Microsoft did?
Well, the biggest thing is downtime, like you said, because this is a long process. If you extract a terabyte database and have to reload a terabyte database, it just takes time. If you have a business that says, well, you know what, we don't need the system to be available on the weekend for 72 hours, it's not that big of a deal or an impact to your organization. But if you're mission critical, maybe you're a retailer, and you are losing money every hour the system is down, then that part actually becomes probably the most critical part of the entire upgrade process. Because you can't afford to have a long amount of downtime. And the quicker you can make that conversion, the better. And that's where you would spend. And the kind of resource you would need for this exercise will be your basis guys that understand your database, that understand the SAP structure, that understand the underlying hardware and architecture to improve that process. The complexity really is not there, though. That's just the tuning part. The complexity is in the preparation prior to getting to that point.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, absolutely. My final question for you has to do with SAP end users. Certainly, one can understand someone getting special expertise in Unicode, assisting with the switch over to Unicode. But does it impact other people's lives in different ways? Basis people, ABAP people, is there anything that they have to know or do differently in a Unicode world, or is this just something that goes on behind the scenes and doesn't touch those kinds of end users?
That's a great question, Damir. A big part of the reason why there's not a lot of knowledge out there is because this is very much under the covers. It's not in front of your face. It's really behind the scenes. And a lot of this happens silently. It's an enabler. If it's not there, you can't do certain things. And it can also, like I said, result in silent data loss, which causes you headaches and troubleshooting data issues later on, and you can't put your finger on the root cause of the problem. As far as the actual impact it has on your staff, not really. If you have an older SAP system, there's a few syntax changes that your ABAP programmers would have to learn for to be Unicode compliant, but that's a very short learning curve because the SAP utilities will tell you exactly what's wrong with your code by running that tool against it. And your basis guys are not going to see any difference from a perspective of the interfaces. You would have to go into your RFC connections and adapt the tool to say, you know what, my target system is now a Unicode-enabled system and not a Unicode system anymore. But that's a one-time thing. After that, there's not any difference to the way your system operates. There's not any difference to the way you administer and maintain it. It's basically a one-time effort. But once you're there, you are now enabled to go to adding other SAP technologies in the enterprise system architecture and also put SAP right into the middle of your bigger picture of interacting and interfacing with your older and newer applications.
Makes sense. John Visser, thank you very much. We've all learned a lot, and hopefully people who are about to upgrade or implement certain kinds of SAP software now understand the role that Unicode plays, which is apparently very critical. So thanks again, John. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Damir. Have a great day.